Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is the Four Elements. Welcome to another episode. This is your boy Earth.
And this is Water.
So, tonight we're going to talk about the law of attraction. So in the law of attraction, you know, many of us have heard a lot about law of attraction. You know, we have known someone who has studied the law of attraction. Some of us have even studied it ourselves. But basically, I'm going to break the law of attraction down kind of in layman's terms and not get overly technical. But it's basically, it's committing to or actually speaking to what you want for yourself in your life, and you actually attract those things to you. So you're basically making a declaration. And once you made that declaration, you know, the universe configures itself to accommodate that declaration that you've made. So that's sort of the big picture, you know, kind of a layman's term definition of the law of attraction. So we're going to talk about, so I guess that answers the first question, like what is the law of attraction? And I actually answered how does it work, you know, just by simply, you basically just make a declaration. And once you make that declaration, things start to happen. But, of course, you have to take action within making that declaration. So it's not just making a declaration and you just sit back and you just chill and everything just automatically comes to you. And we'll get to, like, the last question or the answer, which is how does it apply in reality? We'll get to that in a minute. But I'm going to ask F. Water what you got. And, by the way, for those of you who are wondering, Wynn is not on the line right now. He'll be on in a minute. I think he's having some technical difficulties. So, Water, what you got?
Yeah, man, this is really one of my favorite topics. One of them, but definitely at the top of the list of my favorite topics because, you know, this is really the law of attraction for those of you who subscribe to it, believe in it, whatever you want to call it, is something that we do by default. So it's basically something that we do to or whether we don't. And so for me, I really think that this is one of those things that kind of I like to keep in the forefront of the conversations that I have. Because if I'm not paying attention to this, then I will begin to create, or said another way, attract things in my life that I just either don't want or was trying to avoid or something like that. And also, I just, for my life, to really, really make it a point to really kind of paint the canvas of life with the things that I want as opposed to the things that I don't want. So, yeah, this is definitely, you know, something that, you know, I enjoy, as well as for those of you who were on the show 2-3 months ago, we had, you know, a special guest, Darren Henson, on, and he really, really did a really wonderful job of painting the picture of the law of attraction and how it worked for him and his career. I think, Wynn, you're on the line now. Is that a Wynn spotting?
Yes, I am. Can you guys hear me well?
Yeah, we can hear you perfectly, man.
Yeah,
so we're just kind of introducing the topic, man, and we're kind of like basically kind of laying the groundwork for the conversation, just kind of what is it, and I guess really that's where we're starting, is what is the law of attraction and your thoughts about it. So if you want to pick it up from there, man.
Yeah, sure. So the law of attraction is just like the law of gravity. So it's operable at all times, and what I want to talk about tonight is how we can actually be diligent and intentional about how to use the law of attraction to our advantage. The law of attraction is, you know, attracting good, bad, ugly, indifferent to your life. And a lot of people, one of the reasons why I really wanted to do this show is because there's a lot of preconceived notions, a lot of misnomers about the law of attraction. People think that they could just create vision boards or just think positively and actually generate that which they want, but it's a little bit more sophisticated and a little bit more deeper than that, actually. And it's really predicated upon the vibration that you actually have about a particular subject, or I will just say a particular subject. So, for example, you may want a vehicle. And let me just back up a little bit. There are really three fundamental steps to the law of attraction. And it's ask, it's the answer to that, and it's the receiving of that which you actually want. So let me repeat that again. It's ask, answer, and receive. So just like in the Bible, Jesus says, you know, ask and it should be given unto you, pressed down, shaken, and you guys know the rest. So essentially, what you ask for is just immediately given to you. But it's given to you in the sense that it's in an escrow, a field, a bank, ready for you to receive it. And to actually receive it, it's just like a radio station. You have to tune yourself to actually receive that particular station. So that station is always available. The question is, are you tuned into it? Are you on the same vibration as that same station? And the way you do that is to feel good about what you're trying to generate. So if you're looking for something that might be out of your range, if you're thinking about, if you make $50,000 and you want a Bugatti, now, of course, according to the law of attraction, you have it. The question is, can you be attuned to it? And if you have the feeling that that Bugatti is out of your range, then you can never be in alignment with that. On the other hand, if you simply want a brand new car and you make $50,000, perhaps a Camry or some other vehicle might be easily available for you to be tuned into. So it's really about the feeling of it, the vibration of it. You can't have any negative angst or doubt about what you're attempting to attract. I just want to check in for a minute with the other elements and see if I'm making any sense. I don't want to go too far off the curve.
Yeah, this is Earth. Yeah, you're making sense. For me, you are, and you know, let me go ahead and let you get finished saying what you're going to say, because I may have a slightly, well, not a different view, but something to add on to, like, the whole concept of the law of nature. But go ahead,
go ahead.
Ward, what you got?
Well, I'd like to hear what you had to add to what he was saying.
Well, you know, from my practical studies, the law of attraction is great, you know, and it works. However, the law of attraction, it exists on like a personal level or like a personal identification level. So what I mean by that is people will identify with the law of attraction personally, like for themselves. And it actually allows you to begin to take a peek into the window of like the powers and the abilities that we have as human beings. There's a whole nother realm to exist which is more powerful than the law of attraction tenfold, probably more than that. And that's when you begin to identify on the level of nature identity. So then you really begin to exist in both self-identity and you exist in nature identity. And nature identity is being able to have a connection with nature. And what I mean by nature is like everything in the universe. Nature is like in your house, you're actually in nature. You have to go outside in the woods to be in nature. Walk outside, you're in nature. Like everything is actually nature. So when you identify with, for example, the laws of attraction, and you identify on a personal level, your ability to go outside of that is very limited, and it limits like your power, which is fine because some people don't know that there's something else. Some people know that there's something else, and they don't want to go down that road, which is perfectly fine. But I'm saying that there's a whole other level which exists on nature identity, and that's when you begin to not only connect with yourself, which is what's done in within the law of attraction, so within personal identity, it's about you, but you begin to connect with nature, within nature identity, and you begin to connect to the entire universe. And that's where we begin to realize on a practical level, not from a theoretical perspective, but just in practice, that we are connected to everyone and to everything, because you feel it and like you experience it, and you're able to bring things into existence on that level. Some people may feel it, or somebody may say they feel it. Some people may say, "Oh, I know that's true," but are you using that in the same way that you use the law of attraction to have things happen in a more powerful way, and to have things happen like in a way that you can't even imagine them happening? So that's what I want to add in this. You know, as we go along, I'll talk more about that and explain more about that if anybody has any questions. But that's what I wanted to add on to. The law of attraction is it's great as it is, but it just exists on a personal level.
Well, I would argue that the law of attraction exists on all levels. It's the matter which we see it as it has been commercialized now. Because everything is energy. Human beings, so-called inanimate objects, trees, birds, anything that exists is energy. And we all have a particular vibration and a connection with one another. You agree, Earth?
Yeah, even beyond with one another, but I'm tracking you. You have a connection with everything, even the rock outside. You have a connection.
Exactly. And so what I'm proposing is, I believe in alignment, what you're proposing is that it requires a consciousness for us to actually utilize the law of attraction to our advantage, and that requires that we be in alignment with who we truly are as human beings, as well, I'm sure you would, you know, you would say is that as indigenous people of the earth. Is that where you were going?
Yeah. In a way, when you said it perfectly, the way that the law of attraction is, the way that, the law of attraction is viewed today is very limiting. And I would argue that what's beyond the law of attraction can't be articulated as the law of attraction based upon this definition. Because to be able to bring to be able to bring a certain force of nature or energy into your space on command kind of supersedes like what the law of attraction. To me, it does. Because you're just kind of like, you know, basically speaking things into existence. Where the next level of that is you're actually in a space where you can manipulate nature.
Exactly, and that's what I was trying to say, is that the how we see it in its existence right now was commercialized, and it's actually not actually accurate. You can't just think things into existence. You have to. There's an alignment that's required with your thinking and your being. And the being is your actual vibration. How you really be is really the essence and the core of who you are, the truth of who you are. And you can't manipulate anything with simply your thought. You can only bring something into existence with the core of your being, how you vibrate, how you really feel about something. So to manifest something into existence requires you to feel powerful, feel happy, feel exhilarated, feel that all things are possible. You can't just think it. You can't just put on a vision board, because it requires you to really believe it. If you don't believe something, if you don't have that alignment with your thinking and your projection, then it actually can't make, you can't manifest it, you can't materialize it. If you, I'll give you just a practical example. And this might be totally off base, but, you know, a lot of guys, you know, they would think that they could, you know, have any woman that they want, right? And, you know, a lot of men would say, oh, man, I can have Holly Berry if I wanted to. But the truth of the matter is that if they don't really believe it and they don't have the heart to approach Holly Berry, they're not going to have Holly Berry, right?
Right.
A real man has to really believe it and project that and be that. I mean, women can, people feel the vibration of other people. And if that vibration isn't in alignment, then there's no connection. There's no material interaction with those two human beings if they're not in alignment. What are you going to say, Eric?
Right. Well, I was just going to just comment on something you said, like the person has to believe it. And in that believing it, like you can go out and say, I want a job that allows me to work from home, that pays me a certain salary. So you can go out and declare like that's what you want. And the opportunity could actually present itself, but whether or not you can capitalize or you can take advantage of that job is in the belief and how you approach the opportunity. So and this is based upon personal experience and watching other people kind of declare or create what they want. And the opportunity shows up. But because of their level of confidence and belief as to whether or not that'll happen, I've seen people back away from opportunities that have shown up based upon exactly what they said they wanted. I think the belief comes into play. I'm not going to say in every instance, but in the instances that I've seen, the belief comes into play as whether or not you take advantage of the opportunity, which is whether or not you really feel that you can accomplish it. Some people may not even feel they really deserve it. Or, you know, whatever that is for them. What do you think about that?
Well, that's precisely what I was talking about, is that, you know, I think Henry Ford said, whether you believe or not, either one is true. And so, according to the law of attraction, law of attraction is still at work. Because if you're not congruent with what you said, if your beliefs are not congruent with what you said, then you actually don't believe, and so you won't get that job.
Yeah, this is Walter. I just want to add in there that for those out there listening, so because a lot of times our conversations may go into what people consider ethereal. And so this is a great part of our discussion, because this actually shows that the law of attraction is not all about, for those people who are out there who are just kind of, because I've run into plenty of people who are just like, you know, it's total airiness with the law of attraction. So this is an important part right here, because this goes into your belief system, which in the nutshell creates your self-image. And basically, going into a study of something like psycho-cybernetics, where they actually talk about how important your self-image is to basically get those things that you want to get. And that goes to becoming an elite athlete, like from just a mediocre athlete to basically being an elite athlete, or whether it comes to being a top-notch CEO, whether it comes to just whatever you're becoming, it's pretty much the same principles. And you can look at it as if you're vibrating at a certain frequency, or you can look at it as whether your beliefs are actually going to either help or hinder you in that particular situation. But that's what I was picking up from what you brought up, Earth, and then when you kind of elaborated on it. But to me, that's probably one of the most important things, is just to say it's not just all about you don't have to believe in this or not. We're just talking about a way that you can actually really get the life that you want to. So whether you believe that it's the law of attraction that's actually at work, or whether you believe that you are just aligning yourself and your belief system and your habits and those types of things in accordance with where you're trying to go, it pretty much all points to the same direction.
And what I would add to that is that all of us are thinking and believing something at every moment of life. And so that thinking, that believing is attracting, is creating your world. So if you approach a job interview but really don't believe it, you're still believing that you're not going to get it. So it's just the other side of the coin. Go ahead, Earth.
No, I was going to give an example, a personal example of something that happened to me. So as some of the listeners know and some don't know, but the elements know that I'm a drummer, and I play the djembe, and I play the kitero, and a little bit of dundun, so which are African drums. So one of the things that I created for myself, or I declared, is that this year, 2015, that I wanted to start doing solos, and I wanted to really start to raise my level of drumming, raise the level of vibration of my drumming to be more on a spiritual level of drumming. So that's one of the things that I declare for this year. And before I knew it, the opportunity showed up out of the blue in the middle of a drum session for an African drum class. It was so out of the blue when it showed up. It was like, oh, go ahead and solo. There was no prior conversation about it, nothing. I froze. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. You want me to do what? Like, yeah, go ahead and solo. And, I couldn't believe, when I think about it now, I can't even believe I turned it down. I was like, nah, I don't. I made up some excuse and said, well, I'm not that familiar with the rhythm. But really to do a solo on top of a rhythm, you don't have to be overly familiar with it. You just have to be able to feel the music and then just sprinkle, your accents on top of the rhythm. But I turned it down. So that's just a prime example of, okay, I said I wanted X, which was to drum on a certain level. And in order to do that, then I need to be able to play solos and actually play to the dancers themselves. And when the opportunity presented itself, I didn't drum. And the reality is, I didn't have the confidence that I could actually drum on that level because I don't sound like, these guys from Guinea, these guys from Mali, and, other places, these guys from the States who've been drumming for years, and I've only been drumming for a couple of years, and they've been drumming for, all their lives practically. And I was like, no, I'm not on that level. So that stopped me from moving forward. But the reality is it had nothing to do with what level I was on. It's something that I declared that I wanted, and the opportunity presented itself. And I declined. So because I declined, then, in that moment, I wasn't able to realize or begin that journey or continue the journey, rather, of becoming the kind of drummer I wanted to become. So, and I just thought about that in that context in this conversation. So this is actually a really good conversation because it actually had me to see something that I didn't see. Say what now?
So that was absolutely clear.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for that that example. So what's going to change that for you?
Oh, well, it's simple. When the opportunity presents itself, I'll just drum. And the outcome is the outcome. Because if a drummer, especially a lead drummer, asks you to do, let me say, you ask me to do a solo or play for the dancers on the next line of dances or whatever that is, they ask me to do that, that means that they know what my drumming skills are, regardless of what I think they are, where I think I am. Because several lead drummers have given me, you know, really good compliments on my drumming. You know, just kind of out of the blue, and you don't. And in drumming, African drumming, you don't get compliments often, at all. Not that people are being mean, you just don't. You know, until you get to, you know, like when you get to a certain level, and people really see like you're improving, or see that you're like playing and locking into the music, then you know, the lead drummer may be like, okay, I hear you, but you know, it'd be something really subtle. And then that's like the acknowledgement that, okay, you know, you're actually advancing at a certain level. So, yeah, I mean, it's really simple for me. It's just when the opportunity presents itself again, which I know it will, then I'll just drum. It's just that simple.
So in that moment, you realized your true belief. And then you're saying that you also realize after you conceded to that, that now you're conceding to the acknowledgement of others, and that actually puts you back in alignment with what you want.
Right. Yep. Because it's not how I show up for myself. It's actually how I show up outside of myself in the world. I mean, that's really what it's about. So what I think about it, it doesn't matter at all.
Do you feel power behind that?
What do you mean? What do you mean by power? Do I feel?
Do you feel empowered by their acknowledgement? Do you feel empowered by clarity that you can perform? Is there a different vibration about that now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because that's the difference that it's going to require for you to actually get the opportunity to actually perform on par or beyond par.
So yeah, I mean you're absolutely right about that. So yeah, I'm actually prepared for, you know, the next time it happens. You know, I have a feeling it's gonna happen soon, within the next couple of weeks or so.
Gotcha. So I also wanted, you know, to have our audience participate in this conversation, because none of us are masters of this. None of us, you know, are authorities. But we just wanted to share, you know, amongst ourselves and amongst our audience. So if you have a question or comment, we would certainly love to engage you in conversation about this. Just press 1 and identify yourself, and we can keep the conversation juicy. What, did you want to say anything? Any thoughts?
No, I just wanted to say that kind of like what Earth is saying, part of it is you just have to be there in the moment for that next opportunity. You know, and I what I was hearing him say is that's really what he's going to do, is just kind of, you were saying, he's just going to be with when the moment actually arises again. So that, because honestly, that's really where the power, as far as I'm concerned, the power of any of this stuff comes into play, is how much can you get into the moment of things. Like, how much can you actually be a traveler? How much can you be a traveler instead of a measurer of how far you've gotten towards the destination, or how far you are away from the destination? And I think that that's probably the biggest balancing act between the biggest balancing act for us to do while we're on our journey, trying to create or attract or manifest whatever it is that we're trying to manifest. Traveler, how well of a traveler are you, and how much into the travel and the journey are you, as opposed to looking at the destination and focusing on the destination.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a good point, and I just want to add to that, well, kind of off what you were saying, not directly in line with what you were saying, but, you know, one of the things about understanding the law of attraction is that it actually dispels, like, one of the biggest myths that is prevalent in our culture, and is that opportunity only knocks once. Opportunity knocks as many times as you want it to. It just may look different the next time it knocks, but it's going to be the same opportunity, or it's going to be the opportunity to get you where you said you want to be, or to get you to accomplish whatever you declared that you want. Because I've actually, you know, I've used it several times around opportunities that I didn't take advantage of, and I was like, oh, shoot. I said, well, actually, I want this now. And then I'll just redeclare it, and it shows up again. You know, and it's just that simple.
I'm sure that many or all of our audience have viewed The Secret by Rhonda Byrne. And if you haven't looked at that DVD or streaming video, I would certainly encourage you to look at the movie. And also those who have seen it or those who will see it, I encourage you to conduct research on those individuals that actually participated in The Secret, because they're extraordinary people. They have studied and experienced life from various vantage points, and have come to the united conclusion, and they actually operate within the laws of attraction on a daily basis intentionally. And I would certainly, again, look up those people and look at that, read their material, watch their DVDs. In particular, I would certainly suggest Abraham Hicks. Abraham is the entity that was actually in the original Secret, but was taken out of the subsequent, the different version of The Secret. So I would certainly go to YouTube and look at the videos from Abraham Hicks, because Abraham really, in my vantage point, articulates the law of attraction to the highest level that I've actually ever heard. And there are different questions and issues that are addressed that actually would really, really clarify many of your questions. So I would highly, highly encourage you to look at those videos. And if you get the opportunity when they visit the city that you're located in, go to one of the workshops, or go on a cruise, or order some videos. But I would definitely encourage you to look up Abraham Hicks.
Hey, Wend, while we got about another 20 minutes in the show, I think it would be pretty cool to talk about some of the practical things that people can do to for those who are interested in kind of exploring just exploring the law of attraction for their own life. You have any things in particular that you can recommend people do? Or I know, Earth, you have some things as well, and maybe I can add to that, but I think that would be a good thing to do, is give people something practical to go off of and work with.
Yeah, I do. I mean, just like I just mentioned, you know, anybody that's really interested in actually having a great life and actually intentionally creating a life powerful way, I would certainly inundate yourself, study the law of attraction, read a lot of books, you know, buy the books from those authors, from those participants on The Secret, buy the books from Abraham Hicks, you know, listen to the videos, really inundate yourself with that material. And practice the processes that they encourage, and try to be happy. You know, again, the essence of attracting good things is for you to be comfortable, be happy, be at ease. Know that everything that you ask for is given, that you don't have to, you're not required to work for, to work hard or press hard to obtain that.
Yeah, so this is
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, so this is Earth. Like, I just want to add, like, from a practical perspective, you know, one of the things that I argue has people not fulfill upon, you know, things that they want is because a lot of times people will go and do things solo, just go on their own and just do them. And everybody, I argue that most people don't have the capacity to really do that because they're not, sometimes it's difficult to hold yourself accountable. And so if you're going to explore The Secret or the law of attraction, so if you're going to go down that road, find someone to do it with you. You know, it can be a friend, it could be, you know, a loved one, it could even be somebody, a coworker, it doesn't matter who it is. But someone who is willing to explore that, just explore it together. So if you go out and you get material from Abraham Hicks, or you just go, you know, read The Secret, or you watch the video, or you read a book on the law of attraction, any of those type books, that those genre of books and material, have someone that you can do it with. Because that makes a huge difference. Because you're going to hold them accountable, and they'll hold you accountable, and you actually grow a lot faster when you're doing it with someone else, as opposed to sitting back doing it yourself.
And it's more fun. It's more fun when you do it with somebody else.
And
yeah, this is
water.
And
yes. No, go ahead.
Nah, man. Go ahead and finish what you were saying.
No, I was going to say, and I would suggest, like, when you find a partner, you know, both you document the experience. And because when you document the experience, it just becomes that much more real. And then you can, you know, when you play with it, you'll find things that work and find things that don't work. Because just because you go out and say, oh, I'm going to practice the law of attraction, that doesn't mean it's going to work right away, because you may not recognize how things are showing up in your life for you to accomplish what you said you're going to accomplish. So then you'll get your opportunity. If you don't recognize it, then it won't work. But if you're documenting your experience, you can always go back and say, okay, this type of opportunity showed up and I didn't take advantage of it. However, it would have led me to accomplish what I want to accomplish. But that's all I wanted to add. Go ahead, Water.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that making it an actual habit is probably, as far as I'm concerned, one of the most practical things that you can do, and probably one of the most important things. Because when it comes to anything, we start something and then we stop, we start, we stop, we start, we stop. But our habits are really, that's really what makes us as human beings. So developing the habit to make it part of your life you truly want to use it, and like I was saying before, you don't have to look at it as the ethereal. Some people consider it airy fairy, where it's all energy. Okay, you don't like that doesn't really do it for you. Then what you're doing is you're just making sure that you develop yourself as far as your self image and your beliefs go, so that you can really really align yourself and be ready when the opportunity paired when the opportunity arises. But I would say to make that habit, so that while you're going through your life, you're actually incorporating it into your life. So it's the same as brushing your teeth. For me, I do that every morning, every night. It's just without it doesn't matter what time I go to sleep or whatever. Just do it every morning, every night, and it's just become that ingrained in me to where I don't think about it. I don't like just it happens. And for me, I think that's the biggest thing with any of the topics that we discuss on our show. But again, as Wynn stated, it's just one of those things that, and like I said at the beginning of the show, one of those things that we do by default, whether we want to do it or not. So would you rather create a habit to just pay attention to it, just to maybe do some of the things that Wynn and Earth suggested? Or would you rather, would you rather just have it happen and you not even try, not even, pay attention to it, and then things are happening, and at the end of the day, you start to feel like a victim because you feel like you don't have any control over it. When, according to the law of attraction or psycho-cybernetics, depending on which way you direction you want to go, we do have a choice.
I would say this is ethereal. And it's required for any person that actually wants to master their lives to be open and receptive to something new, to be open and receptive to something that's different, to be open and receptive to something that is seemingly strange. But if you really want to be empowered and to create your life, it's required for you to do some different things, and you have to develop those habits. Water was alluding to, you have to inundate yourself with positivity. You have to inundate yourself with new thinking, new ways of being. And that's going to take you to places where you're not necessarily accustomed to or comfortable with. I mean, look, back before airplanes were invented, nobody, thought that we would have commercial airlines with carrying on a daily basis as we're doing right now. That was strange thinking. That was ethereal thinking. But here we are in 2015, traveling all over the world in all sorts of vehicles. We're traveling to, the moon and to outer space and space stations. All of that was ethereal thinking. But that's what's required, is to push the limits of life, to push the limits of humanity, to push the limits of, ourselves, our families, our communities. You're required to do something different, to think different, to be exposed to something different, to master something different, to create something different.
My question to you, Wynn, and this will actually address the last point, and that is, how does someone apply the law of attraction today, like in reality?
What do you mean by that?
So basically, what are the steps? So someone who's listening and they say, wow, all this sounds great.
I actually need a job because I'm not working. So how would someone phrase the declaration? Or is there a special way to phrase the declaration? And then once that's done, what's the next step after that?
Yeah, I wouldn't even characterize it as a declaration. I wouldn't characterize as a definitive process. The first thing the person has to do is be okay with where they are, be okay with the experience in life that have put them in the circumstances where they are, because that's what made them who they are. A lot of people that, you know, are looking for jobs, that are anxious for employment, have a bad feeling about either being laid off or not generating income, and so that puts you at a disadvantage and creates, see, like I said, you're always creating. You're always susceptible to the law of attraction. The question is, are you using it consciously, intentionally, and powerfully to your advantage? Or are you being a victim, and then a negative snowball actually occurs in your life? See, a lot of people could say that they're out of work, and then the next thing you know, because they're feeling bad, you know, the next thing happens is the car breaks down. They feel bad about the car breaking down. Then you know their relationship breaks down, and it becomes a negative snowball. But the way you actually generate yourself to actually accomplish what you want is be at ease at what the circumstance is and not make a big deal of it. It's to relax and put yourself in a happy place. Look at some, you know, funny videos. Go play something. Play with somebody. Play video games. Something that actually puts you in a good mood. And then at that point, once you're neutralized, once you're stabilized in that mood, in that emotion, then you can actually create something that's positive on top of that. But if you're feeling negative, if you're feeling beaten down, then you're creating something that you that's your guidance system indicating that you're creating something that you don't necessarily want. That's one of the things that I didn't, you know, bring up tonight, that is about your emotions is your guidance system to allow you to know exactly what you're creating. If you feel, you know, downtrodden and you feel that negativity, that means that you're creating something that you don't necessarily want. When you're in the space of positivity and heightened happiness, that means that you're generating something that you know, elated about. That's something that you're that'll be well received by you. You're in a space of creating something good. You're in a vibration of attracting something good. All of us are magnets, and if we're negative, then we're attracting negativity. If we're positive, we're attracting positivity. It's just like the old saying goes, the rich get rich and the poor get poor. Why is that? Because the rich are vibrating on wealth. The poor are vibrating on what they're deprived of, what they're experiencing with respect to lack. And so to move from one pole to the next, it requires you to neutralize yourself, to stabilize yourself, and then go into creating something that's positive for yourself. Did that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I'm going to just address, like, one of the issues that I have with the way that the law of attraction and the secret and blah, blah, blah. All of these practices are taught to the masses. And they leave out one, to me, it's the primary component around, you know, attracting anything to yourself, or, you know, saying that you want something, or, you know, going out and creating that you want a job or a car or whatever you want. It doesn't matter. One of the issues that I have is that it leaves out the most basic, fundamental law of nature, which is reciprocity. And a lot of times we talk about, oh, I want this, you know, I want this job, I want a car, I want all these things for myself, and leave out reciprocity. And you can't continue to take and not give. Because then that actually throws nature out of balance completely. And when nature's out of balance, it will correct itself, and you don't want to be in the path of it correcting itself. So that's what I wanted to add as related to me having, that's an issue that I take with, this whole philosophy and the way that it's taught. I think it's taught incorrectly, and when that it doesn't address the most basic principle or the most basic law of nature, which is reciprocity. What do y'all think about that?
I actually disagree with that. And the reason why I disagree with that is because there is an abundance to this universe and beyond. And there is nothing that you can actually strip away from this earth to diminish it or to kill it. I get what you're referring to, and I get that the earth does respond to imbalance. But in the sense of people asking and requesting of the universe, I think there is a vast abundance and that will never be depleted. And
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I don't think that we ought to mistreat one another or mistreat this earth or any entity. But I believe that there's an abundance for everyone to have whatever they want. And what's interesting is that we don't all want the same things. And we don't necessarily all want something that's, expensive. I mean, some of us just really want the basic things. They just want peace of mind, and they want happiness. They want family and community. And I think there's abundance for everybody.
Yeah, I'm not refuting the abundance, but by no stretch of the imagination. So I don't want you to think that that's what I'm referring to. I'm referring to taking. It could be a limited supply, but the universe does not operate that way. The fundamental law, you can look in nature. You just use nature as an example. Nature operates off reciprocity. The lion can't take. Just can't. The hyena can't take. There's always reciprocity. And it seems like, you know, animals understand that. And a lot of humans do also, but we're just in a space where we focus more on what I can gain for myself instead of not making sure that we acknowledge the most basic law of nature, which is reciprocity.
Well, gentlemen,
we talk about is I. I want this, I want that, gimme.
Well, so, gentlemen,
you know, go ahead.
This is definitely a whole show within itself. But we've come to the end of our road here on this particular show, and you guys picked the exact wrong time to start this one, because that seems like that is a great that's a great debate right there. I mean, we could actually explore that and draw in some of our calls into that, but unfortunately, we kind of hit the end of the road on this one, man.
Well, thank you guys for engaging us in this conversation. I hope that something that you heard sparked something to elevate you. That's our intent. And with that, I say enjoy your week. Have a powerful week.
See you all next week.